Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's definitely not the balloon of free speech, because we're tired of talking about that damn balloon. But they're not tired of talking about it on AM radio, so don't listen to AM radio, listen to RBN. In fact, donate money to RBN, because it is the... it's the anything but a balloon of free speech. I think we'll be talking about it tomorrow, but not today. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. Today is Monday. We've got with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
If I hear another word about that stupid weather balloon, I think I'm actually going to have an aneurysm.
Okay. Well,
I've had enough of that topic. It's just so irrelevant. It's so irrevelevant. The funny thing is, and I am going to have a word on it since so many people are still talking about it. But how can anybody even be concerned about a stupid weather balloon when so much of American and British, for that matter, the Brits are in the same position as you Americans are, so much of our infrastructure in terms of technology is actually provided by other nations. So in Britain, you know, you've got Chinese firms putting in all the telecommunications. You've got, I think it's French firms that own our national grid and power networks. So everything's owned, like, legitimately by these foreign countries. No one says anything. No one seems to be bothered. And then you get a balloon float over, and everyone loses their bloody mind. It's like the great sell-off of Britain and America has been an ongoing problem for decades. Post-Second World War, it's been one of the defining problems of, you know, we'll call it the Anglosphere world. And it's happened, you know, relentlessly. And it's still happening to this day. I think Britain has just done another deal with the French for them to own even more of our national grid. Now, I know you might say, well, the French aren't a, you know, sort of a hostile, alien, completely alien people. Well, I do believe, if you look at history, the British have been at war. People always make out as if the Britain's great enemy is Germany, because people are obviously largely historically illiterate, and they think because we fought two world wars against Germany, you know, we're friends with the French. Well, actually, if you look at history, Britain has spent more time at war with France than they have any other country. I mean, one of the wars with France was actually called the Hundred Years' War. So that certainly wasn't something that was quickly resolved. But the fact that they own, you know, most of our national grid now is absurd. And, you know, that's all I want to say about that stupid balloon.
And the Israeli companies do are in the United States, Israeli firms do the bulk of, like, the credit card processing, and they do a lot of healthcare information databases and things like that. And besides, we've got the United States has, I think, literally thousands of satellites that are looking down on every country on Earth, and we always have. And it just seems to me that even if this was a dastardly Chinese spy balloon, in the big picture of things, what difference does it make? But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about Britain's gone wild, right? So what's going on in Britain right now? Are people going wild?
I wouldn't say they're going wild. I'd say they're waking up. Now, obviously, at the weekend, we've seen some scenes that people probably never thought we'd see here in Britain. Spontaneously, in Knowsley, an area near Liverpool, locals came out of their homes and started demonstrating outside a migrant hotel on both Friday and Saturday. And there's been absolute uproar. And these migrant protests are growing all over the UK now and in Ireland. And it's finally as if people are finding their voices. People are saying enough is enough. They've had enough of all this, and they don't want any more of this. And the interesting thing about this is, yeah, I've been involved in organising some of these protests. I organised a protest in Leeds, a protest in Hull. There's been a patriotic alternative protest in Scotland in a place called Erskine. But this protest in Knowsley, this wasn't organised by me. This wasn't organised by a group. This was locals coming out and doing this spontaneously. Normal people, not political people, not EDL, not BNP, not Patriotic Alternative, not Britain First. This was just normal people coming out and saying enough is enough. Now, they are being demonised by the media, as you think they wouldn't. Things did turn a little bit, I think CNN would call it fiery, on the first night of these protests. But I think we're reaching this watershed moment where you're seeing a convergence of different issues: migration, cost of living crisis, attacks on white people by ethnic minority groups. And you're seeing this situation where two things are happening. There's a separation in society amongst white people. There's the white people who want this to keep happening, and there's the white people who are saying enough is enough. And for those who are saying enough is enough, we've hit a tipping point. And they're actually not just sitting at home anymore saying enough is enough. They're doing something. They're taking matters into their own hands, and they're pushing back against the government, against the establishment, and they're not listening to the media anymore. They're not listening to the left. They're not listening to social media influences. They are fighting back.
And what does that look like?
Well, the other night in Knowsley, it ended up with a police van being burnt out. Now, I don't believe that that police van was burnt out for no reason. I think the police deliberately left it there with its doors open, unguarded, because they were trying to bait people into doing this so that they could crack down on protesters. I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to clamp down on legitimate protests. And I think they're looking to make arrests so they can demonise normal people. And they want to demonise normal people because they're scared that more people are going to rise up and actually do something. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is, when we arrange, as in when Patriotic Alternative arrange protests, we have a number of speakers. We liaise with the police beforehand. We do this legally in an above board manner. And we do this in that way so that there isn't trouble, so that we don't see these outbreaks, and so that our people can't be baited into doing something that might sort of, in one way or another, risk the future of these protests. Because I believe that these protests are a legitimate way forward for people to air their grievances and have their voice heard. And I think that's very important. And I think it's very important that people stay within the law. I understand, I'm not cucking. I understand people are angry. I understand people want to have their voices heard. And I understand that people have, you know, reasonable grievances against the state. But the state are looking for any excuse whatsoever now to clamp down on normal people having a say. So it must be done legally. However, I will say this. I can't condemn men and women for going out and doing this. And I understand why they're angry. They've been betrayed for decades by politicians. Nobody listens to them. They see Black Lives Matter, you know, burning down, you know, cities and towns, looting, attacking white people, and politicians cheer them on. Yet when white people say, well, look, one of our young girls has been approached and propositioned by a 25-year-old man in the street, we're then not allowed to go and say anything ourselves. I understand people's anger, and it is a justified anger, and it's an anger that has been building for a long time. This has been something that has been building for a long time. A large group of people, white working people, who have been ignored, dispossessed, disrespected, and completely marginalized by politicians. And now, that's it. People are snapping. People don't want any more of this. And I've got to say this as well. People feel as if they don't have a legitimate way to speak out. And that's something that will always lead to bottled up emotions sort of bursting forth in a way that, that isn't optimal, is not the best way. But that isn't the fault of the people. That is the fault of the people that have dispossessed the people. It's the fault of people who have done everything they can to rob, you know, normal British people of a voice in Parliament, in local council chambers, and have repeatedly disrespected normal British people every time they've tried to speak out against immigration. This is what happens when the only words used to describe average British folk who've got an issue with immigration are slurs. You're a bigot. You're a racist. You're a Nazi. And finally, people have said, well, call us whatever you want. Call us whatever you want. But we're coming out and doing something. And do something they did. I don't know if you've seen anything similar to this in America. I suppose you could say this is on a par with sort of January the 6th. But how do you see this? Do you see this as a positive development?
It depends. It depends what happens. I mean, if because you did mention the police car getting burned out, right? If there's no police car getting burned out, then what other actions were they taking?
Well, it was just a protest. I mean, people were angry. People are angry. You know, when it comes down to it, there's a general feeling amongst people that politicians in this country would happily stand by as every white schoolgirl was raped before they would stop a single dinghy crossing the English Channel. And there's a growing anger about that.
So, I mean, it's if people are angry enough to get up and go out and protest, that's a big deal. And obviously, you know, I mean, I don't know whether this was a setup with a police car or not. I have no way of knowing that. I do know that in America, the Black Lives Matter peacefully burned countless police cars, and the police stood by, and there was never any. Well, I wouldn't say there was never any. I think probably a few people got arrested, but there wasn't any general condemnation of it. If this was a setup, then it would be a setup because there would be an intention of demonizing everybody and shutting down the movement. You know, if this is something that is going to be able to sustain itself and grow as a protest movement, that's exactly what we want. A burned out police car gives the authorities the cover they need to crack down. I guess if you have one protest in one city like this, that's a big deal. If you have a second one in the same city or in another city, then that is really the beginning of a movement. So we'll see, but it's in America, we have something called Fox News, and on Fox News, whenever something happens in Britain, we have this guy named Nigel Farage who is rolled out. What is he saying about this?
Well, this is very interesting, and this is one of the things that I found sort of most interesting about this situation, is people like Nigel Farage. Usually you'd expect Nigel Farage to come out and start with the disavowals, start saying these guys are bad guys, they give the right wing a bad name, you know, go back home, don't cause any more trouble. That's the kind of thing you'd expect from Nigel Farage. And interestingly, Nigel Farage hasn't done that this time. Nigel Farage has not come out and said, these guys are bad guys. In fact, he's come out and he's more or less said, well, this is what you're going to get when you don't listen to the people. This is what you get when you ignore people, you know, for generations. And finally, it bottles up and they come out and this kind of thing happens. Now, that's a very, very bold thing for Nigel Farage to say, because Nigel Farage has always been, you know, without being harsh to him, or without, you know, he's obviously come out and been different this time, but he's always been this guy who's rode this very fine line of fundamentally trying to be Mr. Reasonable, you know, Mr. sort of middle of the road. So he's always attacked people who are ethno-nationalists. He's always got very upset if things have turned a little bit raucous. And fundamentally, but this time he's not doing that. This time he's actually coming out and he's saying, well, it's the politicians who've created this. This is, he's more or less, without exactly saying it, he more or less seems to be, you know, pointing to the fact that this is almost sort of like a righteous, you know, condemnation of the system itself and the way the system has treated white people. And if you think about it, that for him is pretty much unprecedented, because
I mean, I remember things you've told me about him. Like, he's really against, say, Polish immigration to the EU, because Poland's not part of the Commonwealth. But if it's from Nigeria, it's A-OK, right?
Well, he seems to be going back on this. And recently, this was another interesting sort of change in form for Nigel Farage, is that recently he actually turned around and complained when the census results came out, and his complaint was that you can actually see that Britain is becoming a foreign land. He complained when it emerged that Birmingham is now only Birmingham's 42% white British, and and London's now only 37% white British. And this is something that Nigel Farage bemoans. He actually bemoaned this. He came out and said, you know, we're becoming strangers in our own land. And I think that's a very important change, because this is obviously a racial point. He wasn't saying, well, it doesn't matter as long as all the immigrants, you know, learn to speak English and, you know, do their British history lessons. That's not what he's saying, and that's always what he had said in the past. He'd always made the point in the past that he wasn't going to go down that racial route, but now he seems to be willing to talk about race. He seems to be willing to make the point that white Britons becoming a minority is a bad thing. So, and he's late to the party. But I always say, better late than never.
Now, Nigel Farage, so he had a party called UKIP, right?
And then he had a party called the Brexit Party.
The Brexit Party. And they've had electoral success in, say, European Parliament elections. I guess they've had a little bit of success in, have they elected members to the Parliament in London?
Sort of yes and no. Now, this is a difficult one. They have had MPs, but none of them were elected MPs. They've never had somebody elected to Parliament in the traditional sense. However, they have had Conservative ministers cross the floor and become UKIP MPs. So they were elected as Conservatives.
Ministers or just MPs who crossed?
Sorry, MPs. Sorry. Okay. Not actually people with ministerial roles. If they had ministerial roles, they would be obviously lose the position. But, you know, members of Parliament have actually, you know, crossed the floor and, you know, become UKIP, you know, MPs. That is something that has happened. So they have had, I'm not saying they've had no success, because they obviously have had success, and they have done things which obviously the establishment don't like. They have elected a number of councillors, and they've had people elected to regional assemblies. But
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
MPs. That is something that has happened. So they have had, I'm not saying they've had no success, because they obviously have had success, and they have done things which obviously the establishment don't like. They have elected a number of councillors, and they've had people elected to regional assemblies, but they have always failed to break through at parliamentary level. And UKIP now is a shell of its former self. And Nigel Farage isn't actively involved in politics. He is now just a pundit. He works for a channel called GB News, which is kind of the British sort of Tucker Carlson style news network that's on mainstream television. Doesn't go too far, but goes far enough for people to sort of cheer on and be like, whoa, you know, these guys are based. But I think that this is a major change for Nigel Farage. And it's, and the other thing that's interesting is it's not just Nigel Farage who's doing this. Now, when I went on Twitter, I was expecting to see a literal sea of people condemning those who were at that protest and saying, look, you know, this is a legitimate issue, but you've undermined this legitimate issue and you've wrecked it for everyone else. I was expecting that. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. The people on Twitter, not just Nigel Farage, but more or less everybody was saying this was long overdue. Mm-hmm. And that is something in itself which is very, very strange to see. Because usually somebody cooks. There's usually somebody who has the big bold, well, I do agree with your position, but you've undermined it now and I can't support you kind of thing. But that hasn't happened for many quarters. And I think that tells you something about the state of the nation. I think it tells you something about how people are fundamentally viewing these, you know, migrant hotels now, and how they are viewing, you know, politics in this country. And I mean that because the left are obviously completely still behind the migrants pouring in. And people like Farage and others are now sufficiently against the migrants coming in that they're not going to back down either. So what I'm saying is that middle ground is really disappearing. There isn't that centrist position anymore. People are like, you're either for them or you're against them. You're either with the people who are protesting or you're not with the people who are protesting. And that's an interesting position, because in my life in politics, I've never seen that kind of thing before.
Okay, so in Britain, you've got like 650 members of the House of Commons, something like that, mostly conservatives, Tories, or Labour, and then you got some people from regional parties or the Liberal Democrats or whatever. Is anybody in Parliament taking the side of the demonstrators or having a Nigel Farage response to it? Like, well, what do you expect? This is, you know, or this is long overdue. Is there anyone in Parliament who is saying that?
No, not that I've heard. Now, it's been very interesting. You've had the left, sort of left-wing, you know, MPs, Labour MPs, absolutely condemning this. But lots of the Conservatives who haven't condemned have been quiet about it, suspiciously quiet, because they're thinking, oh my God, our voters are all going to support this. So that puts them on a very different footing, okay? That puts them on a very different footing. And I think what's happening here, again, is there's a big split with the media, because the media obviously aren't supporting these people. But this is a very difficult position for the media to take, because you've got to remember, it wasn't that long ago that we saw BLM literally tearing cities and towns to pieces, looting stores, attacking whites, you know, openly rioting. And the media were on their side. The media were calling these, you know, fiery yet largely peaceful protests. And people haven't forgotten that. Now, I'm not saying people should be going out and burning down police vans. That's exactly what I'm not saying. I want people to join Patriotic Alternative. I want people to do this in a way that doesn't backfire on them. I don't want people doing things in a way that loses them their jobs or gets protests like this shut down. That's not what I want. But I acknowledge that people are angry, and I acknowledge that a precedent has been set whereby the left have done things like this for generations. BLM have done this, and they've got away with this. So why, if BLM are getting away with this, shouldn't white working people be given, you know, the same leeway? Well, we know they're not going to be given the same leeway, but they absolutely should be. That's the first point I've got to make. Now, the second point I've got to make is normal people aren't going to be listening to the media, because all these papers were like, yay, we've got to get behind BLM. The politicians have got to get behind BLM. We've got to support the rights of black people to go out and protest. Now, white people are protesting, not a single white.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and
stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh, yeah, me.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Normal people aren't going to be listening to the media, because all these papers were like, yay, we've got to get behind BLM. The politicians have got to get behind BLM. We've got to support the rights of black people to go out and protest. Now, white people are protesting. Not a single white person who's at that protest has been consulted or spoken to, or the media's reached out to comment for comment. The media have silenced these people. They're still taking their voice away. They're demonizing them. This is going to lead to a situation where you're going to have what you could accurately describe as the silent majority out on the streets, making their voice heard for the first time ever, but still being denied a voice by the media and the politicians and by these smug leftists. That's going to cause a massive divide in society.
Indeed. Wow. Well,
and I want to add, it's not just going to cause a massive divide, Patrick. I think it's going to be causing an irreparable rift, a rift that is not going to be fixed. And we saw this during Trump-Biden. We saw people who fundamentally were voting for different parties. But it wasn't just a matter of, well, you voted for one, I voted for the other. You know, we're still going to be friends after this. It became a situation, well, you voted for one and I voted for the other, and that means we can never talk again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference. Once you start having this partisan politics, and it's being met largely, I've got to say, it is largely pushed by the left. So the left will say, and I've seen this all over lefty Twitter, you know, if you were one of these people out out at one of these protests, if you were one of these people who believes migrants shouldn't come here, you know, if you're one of these people who thinks that, you know, migrants don't deserve a place in Britain, you should not talk to me anymore. Well, okay, fine. We won't. I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I am not going to lose sleep over not speaking to these rabid leftists. You know I'm not. But it is going to lead to a situation where we have this split in our society, and this split simply will not be healed. It will be an unhealable rift. And, you know, that is going to take us into, you know, a place where fundamentally we've never been before. And I think we're reaching a point in, you know, in our society or within, you know, politics where it's not just polite discourse anymore. It is you're either one side or you're the other. You're either for Western civilization or you're against it. You're for open borders or you're not. And if you're on the other side, don't talk to me anymore. And this has been largely pushed by the left. The left have largely pushed this. They've largely created a society where you either buy into their progressive garbage, and I say progressive in inverted commas because it's not really progressing, unless you're talking progressing towards our death, but that would be some kind of regression. But they've built this dichotomy where you're either all for the progressive garbage, or you can count yourself out. And they've been very good at pushing it, because that's kept a lot of people on board, or at least a lot of people silent for a long while. But that doesn't seem to be working anymore. And those people who used to be silent, well, they're finding their voices.
So, you know, you did mention earlier in this show the Hundred Years' War and wars with France. So maybe the 1500s and the 1600s isn't really relevant to today, but you did have in Britain, I mean, you've had civil wars, you've had all sorts of violent turmoil. I mean, you had Bloody Mary, and you've had Oliver Cromwell, and there's been all sorts of turmoil, you know, over whether Britain's going to be Catholic or not, whether it's going to be, you know, Calvinist or whatever. You've had a lot of, you could even call it, you've had a lot of violent turmoil over Britain's identity. So I don't know if that's at all relevant, but seeing as you mentioned the Hundred Years' War, I'm just kicking that out. What do you think?
Well, it's very interesting in Britain, because Britain has been one of the most...
They've had civil wars, which we've never had in the United States. We don't know what a civil war is. Literally don't know what a civil war is in the United States.
Yes. Well, the thing with Britain, and this is the really interesting thing, is British people have, for a very, very long time, been very quiet. And this has been one of the more stable nations. We have had a civil war, and Britain did get rid of its monarchy, but then it invited them back and the status quo was re-established. And Britain is not known for revolutionary politics. You regularly see revolutionary politics on the continent from both the quote-unquote right and the quote-unquote left. You see it in France, you see it in Germany, you see it in Spain. But you've never really seen that in Britain. So it's interesting that the British are beginning to wake up. And I don't think that's something that's happening in isolation. I think we're already seeing that in France. We're seeing it in Germany, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. We're seeing it in Ireland. And I think now you're getting to a point, it's almost like if you keep pushing a pendulum in one direction, the further you push it, the harder it swings back when you do finally let it go. When it finally swings back, there's more momentum, isn't there? The further you push it, the more momentum you get. And I think that's where we are. I think the British people have been pushed and pushed and pushed, and they've been so very, very quiet, and they've been so very, very beaten down. And there's lots of things that play into this as well with Brits. Brits are strange people in the sense that they have these phrases of, you know, keep calm and carry on. You know, get your head down and be quiet. You know, make the best of things. Those are sort of British sensibilities that when things are maybe not as good as you hope they would be, that the best thing to do is just, you know, get to work, forget about the things, and make the best of the situation around you. But that can only carry you so far. And I think people are finally saying, well, these British sensibilities, this idea of keep calm and carry on, it's not actually doing us any good anymore. You know, we're not just going to keep powering through this. And people are sick of the current situation. So we are reaching this breaking point, and it's going to be interesting to see where it takes us. It's going to be interesting to see if the government finally starts to listen to the people, or if the government keeps pushing on for this sort of genocidal, with this genocidal anti-white policy. I obviously believe the latter. I don't believe the government is going to listen. I think it's going to be more of the genocidal anti-white policy. That's what I think. But, hey, I may be surprised. You know, sometimes I am surprised. Sometimes the government listens. And we at Patriotic Alternative, we've had some massive successes. We have actually had situations where, you know, the government has listened, where the government have said, well, okay, you've held big enough and noisy enough protests. We're going to stop housing refugees or migrants or whatever you want to call them. I say refugees in inverted commas because, you know, I view them as, you know, certainly economic migrants. I don't think they are refugees. I don't think they are, you know, legitimately. I don't think they have any legitimate claim to come here. But we have managed to have an effect in certain areas. And then if enough people all over the country stood up and said, look, enough's enough, I think the government would have to listen. I think the government would have to act. And these uprisings, if you want to call them that, are very interesting because they're not just happening in, you know, working class areas. They're not just happening in middle class areas. They're happening all over the country. And that's what makes it so damn interesting, because this isn't a case anymore of, you know, well, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to make sure the middle class doesn't suffer, but the working class are going to sit and take it in silence, or the middle class are going to sit and cheer this on because they're happy about it, whereas the working class are uncouth monsters that are going to kick off. People, regardless of former class divides, are all taking to the streets in different areas of the country and are saying enough is enough in unison. So this is very interesting from a leftist perspective, because they want to divide people based on class. But when you're at these demonstrations, that isn't an issue. The issue is, are you British? Are you against the replacement of white people? Or are you one of the migrants or one of the people supporting the migrants? And that's where the new divide is.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the past few years, I mean, obviously you've had this migrant crisis has been going on for a long time. It was part of the reason that you had a Brexit vote in 2016. I mean, it was probably the main underlying reason. So this has been going on for a long time, even in crisis mode. But the past few years, you had the corona apocalypse, those lockdowns, and then now you've had this war in Ukraine, which is exacerbating the economic fallout, that, you know, the inflation and everything that had started with the coronavirus lockdowns. So you've had a country that's been in crisis mode really for the past 3 years from these other two sources. Does that create like even more instability, and does that play into the propensity for people to be willing to go out into the streets? Because they've just, enough is enough. They've had enough, not just of the immigration, but they've had enough frankly, tyranny in general.
I think there's been accumulation of different things. This is very much like a layer cake. And you've got the betrayal of Brexit, you've got the migrant crisis, you've got politicians not listening, you've got the lockdowns, you've got the tyranny of COVID policy, you've got the reduction of freedom of speech, you've got politicians giving themselves massive pay rises, you've got politicians not listening to the people, disrespecting the people, you've got the media telling white people that they're rioting thugs when they were cheering on Black Lives Matter mobs months earlier when they were burning and looting. And all of these things have slowly added up. And people have been getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And it's been like a pressure cooker. And that pressure cooker has been slowly heating up. And for a long time, I think the government's managed to keep a lid on things. And I think what's kept the lid on things is prosperity. When you could go out with plenty of money in your wallet and you could buy nice food, have a takeaway, afford to get a beer, you could always find a reason not to notice. You could find an excuse to not get involved. But that's not the case anymore, because we're not in a prosperous world. We're in, you know, you don't send, you know, your child down to the shop anymore with a fiver to get some milk, bread, and tell them to get some sweets. Because if you did, they'd probably come back with no change. And that's not a joke. You know, milk and bread at the shops can now cost you in the region of £5. In my household, we always get blue milk and green milk and a loaf of bread. And, you know, if you throw in a chocolate bar or a can of pop, well, that's going to go over a fiver. People are struggling. People are struggling to pay the gas bill. They're struggling to pay their electric. People's children are having respiratory problems because of black mold growing up the wall in the houses, because their houses aren't being looked after because they can't heat them. And now that prosperity's gone, you are going to face a time where people are going to start noticing. And people always talked about bread and circuses, didn't they? Bread and circuses. You know, the football was on the TV, the takeaway's on the table, the can of beer's in hand. So it's very easy to ignore the problems outside your house. Well, the can of beer isn't in your hand anymore. You can't afford the takeaway, and you might have had to cut your Sky subscription. Well, when it comes down to it, that causes people to start noticing. People start taking, you know, note of what's going on outside their little bubble. And what they're taking note of is they can't afford those small comforts, but these migrants are pouring in and they absolutely can afford everything. They absolutely can afford to live a good life, because they're in 4 and 5 star hotels. You know, they're sat in the jacuzzi. They're getting all their clothes done at the laundry. They're getting their meals put on the table for free. They're getting handouts so they can pay for their mobile phone. Some of these people are coming in and there's reports of them hiring luxury cars, because many of them aren't poor. They're not impoverished. They're not refugees. This is a scandal and people are angry. And as I said, in Britain, there was always that issue of prosperity. Well, now it's gone. Now there are no bread and circuses to distract the people. And here we have it. People are angry. They're on the streets and they're speaking up for the first time in generations. And you haven't seen this kind of civil disobedience from white people since the Winter of Discontent back in 1979. It's been a long time coming, but here it is.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so here's one more question. In the, you know, we've got 6-7 minutes left. So you've got millions and millions of non-whites in Britain. You've got, you know, blacks. You've got a whole bunch of Muslims, like Pakistani subcontinentals. You've also got a whole bunch of non-Muslim subcontinentals, Indians, right? And they're very, very well represented in your government. Your prime minister is one. What are the non-whites saying about this?
You know, what are the non-whites saying about this?
What are the non-whites saying about this? Are they, How are they reacting?
Well, I would say that the biggest reaction we've got isn't actually from non-whites. You see, non-whites in this country are, for the large part, very community-minded and can be quite militant. So if there's any threat to, say, the Muslim community, they act. If there's any threat to the Jewish community, they act with the entire backing of the system. If there's any threat to the black community, they act. And the big pushback against whites acting isn't actually non-whites. It's white liberals. It's whites who have been deracinated and hate themselves and hate their own race and are basically now batting for the other side. It's the whites who are absolutely in support of our erasure of our victimhood.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
White liberals, it's whites who have been deracinated and hate themselves and hate their own race and are basically now batting for the other side. It's the whites who are absolutely in support of our erasure, of our victimhood, of all the kind of degenerate madness that we stand against. They're the ones who are up in arms. I think many people from non-white communities would probably understand what we're doing and would certainly be doing it themselves if they were the victims or if they perceived themselves to be victims.
Mm-hmm. But they don't. And
well, look, so... I've got to say this as well. From my perspective, And I've always said this. I'm against immigration. I'm obviously all about ensuring that white people remain as super majorities, either in their ancestral homelands or the nations that they founded. But our greatest problem has never actually been black people or Muslim people or people from the Indian subcontinent. Our greatest issue, for a large part, has been smug liberal whites that have imposed this multicultural tyranny upon white people and cheered it on from their from the safety of their ivory towers. And that's what we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I look as a policymaker, how about this, Patrick? How about this? If I was a policymaker, how about we split Britain down the middle? You know, let's say, you know, for sake of argument, north and south. Let's move all the immigrants and liberals to the south and all the healthy nationalistic people, you know, to the north. And let's see how they get on. Let's have a comparison, because we know how that would end. And you know what? Nationalists would probably say, okay, let's give that a go. But the people who wouldn't want to give that a go would be white liberals, because for all their endorsement of the multicultural system, they don't want to live around it. They wouldn't be able to cope living in that kind of world. They wouldn't want to live in areas with high numbers of ethnic minorities, because if they did, it would be them and their children that would be victimized. And they're not up for that. They're up for normal white working people being victimized. And that's what this is all about. This isn't about white liberals or the liberal elite facing the nightmare reality of multicultural Britain. This is about imposing multicultural Britain upon normal white Britons.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on it. And so what town did this take place in?
This happened near Liverpool, and Liverpool has traditionally been a very, very left-wing city. And to see huge numbers of people, of local people, spontaneously coming out and protesting against migrants, this is a first in a city like that. But you can see, regardless of previous political affiliations, people are waking up.
Well, when I hear Liverpool, I think of the Beatles. And when I think of the Beatles, I think of Ringo Starr saying, well, I'm just happy to be here. So I don't know. We'll have to leave it at that. We're out of time. I don't know if people are still happy to be here, Will, but I want updates on this in the coming weeks. So thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me on, Patrick. It's been a pleasure.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.